The transition from Division 3 to Division 1, how do you anticipate making the transition, particularly in the recruiting area, and going from Texas to Montana?
Absolutely. The timeline for Division 1 recruiting is very different. We recruit year-round. We have to. We kind of never stop recruiting. Where Division 1 has some definite targets that you're going to hit at certain points in the year. I said this earlier, when I started at Southwestern, I had no Division 3 reference. I had none. I had no idea what Division 3 was about, and I had to adjust and learn how to recruit to that system. Texas, we're really fortunate. Everybody recruits Texas. The club system and the population in Texas is unbelievable. You've got to, recruiting-wise, you've got to start and work your way out. I think there's some potential, even looking at the rosters, like you've got Utah, you've got some other areas that Colorado, a lot of the freshmen are coming from Colorado, that those types of markets, but start in and kind of work your way out that way. Yeah, great.
I think everybody's waiting, but I have a list. I'm interested within your system how you use your team captains and whether you like to appoint your team captains or whether you want the team input.
Team captains are huge for me. I had a ha experience about 6 years ago. I was very fortunate. My first year at Southwestern, we have phenomenal team captains. Team was great. I guess that was my second year. Team was great, phenomenal team captains. They graduated next year, different group. And, as a coach, I'm like, oh, they're just not good leaders. And then I went to a seminar about team building and leadership, and he said it. He goes, you train them to play on the court. You got to train them how to lead, too. That's not just an instinctive thing that people know how to do. And I was like, wow, that... You do. You have to train at the same philosophy of teaching them how to lead. Not only do we vote on captains, we talk about the qualities that we want from those people. And there's a list. It's got 10 qualities in it. And the team talks about those qualities that are important to them. I've had some teams really emphasize they have to be the hardest workers. I've had other teams emphasize they need to have the best relationship with the coach. And then once the team decides the qualities they want from the captain, we rank the top three people in each one of those areas. And then based on how you rank your team, they vote for their captains. Then once the captains are voted on, I take them through a 10-week kind of leadership training. Yes?
What are your strengths as a coach?
I would say my strengths are adaptability. Changing the system, changing what's going on in a game, adjusting practices to meet the needs of our team and our athletes. I think that's probably biggest area of my strength is that ability. I think probably a weakness is I don't sugarcoat things. If you ask me a question, you're going to get the honest response. Sometimes players don't want the answer to some of those questions. But at least they know where they stand with me. That sometimes can be a difficult piece of it. Yes?
So how do you adapt to the second half of the season where you play the team for the second time?
It depends on how the first game went. I've been in a place for 8 years. I've been in the same conference for 8 years. I kind of know those coaches now. I know their systems, kind of know how they're going to attack us. So I use that information and what happened in the first game to establish if we got beat and we got beat because their right side hitter just had an amazing match against us, well, then we're going to adjust our blocking scheme to maybe try to neutralize her a little bit. Just a funny story. We play Trinity at Southwestern. They're kind of our big rivals. We one time played them 3 times in 1 year. Twice in the regular season, then we played them again in NCAAs. When we got to NCAAs, I thought I had this game plan because the two hitters before that had gone up against us was their middle and their right side. Yeah, we shut down those two people. Their outside hitter went off on us, but you know, like we at least corrected those two mistakes. So you have to look at what's been happening in the past and use your practice time to progress to, you know, if you lost before, if you won before, try to figure out how they're going to attack you and make sure that you're working on those things in practice.
You said you're surprised at the fan base. I personally attend every game. We have some beautiful, talented athletes from Colorado, Utah, you mentioned, so on. We don't have any from Montana. Can you rectify that?
Well, you know, I'm going to give credit where credit's due, so I didn't come up with this. Coach recently that was interviewing at Southwestern said this. Developing relationships with high school coaches and club coaches anywhere and at any level is really important because those high school coaches and those club coaches, they don't tell their players where to go, but they'll tell their players where not to go. And so that you've got to make sure that you're not on their list of where not to go. And that's going to take some time to foster those relationships, but those are going to be really important.
What are going to be some of your tactics halfway through the season to motivate the girls if they're kind of falling into a slump after, you know, playing, say it's halfway through the season, they've played all the teams and they're getting into that slump, how are you going to motivate them to stick it through the rest of the season?
There's some things we do in practice that it's kind of fun. We'll do like a favorite drills practice where they get to pick, you know, their drills that they want to do. Or we do an earn the right practice where I have a drill that has a goal. If you meet the goal, then you get to pick the next drill. If you don't meet the goal, then I get to pick the next drill. But things like little carrots like that that help people feel in control of their season are really important. Kind of the midpoint when it kind of gets, we at Southwestern, we have a Halloween practice. It sounds weird. It sounds silly. They dress up. They're in Halloween costumes in practice. And is it the most productive practice we have all year? No. But do they enjoy it and it's part of kind of their culture and their tradition now? Yeah. So we can sacrifice one practice for you to get some levity about it. I change up drills sometimes, get new drills, new points of emphasis, new games that we play during practice just to have you focus on something different and new.
How would you characterize, or how would your players characterize your relationship with them when they've made some errors on the floor?
It depends on the player. And because some players are going to respond to you getting a little angry with them. Other players, that they're going to shut down. So for me, it's about what's going to work best for the player. I've had an athlete that she did not respond unless I was with her. Then I've had other players where I need to make them laugh. I need to go, hey, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good, right? You know, and just kind of make that a little bit levity come out of it. So I don't know if there's a specific way I am because different players need different things from me as a coach in that situation.
So would they say you're tough or you're understanding?
I think I'm teaching because, again, nobody messes up on purpose. Nobody goes out there and goes, well, I'm going to tank this into the net. You know, nobody does that. So if they're doing that, you need to figure out why. You know, like, so, gosh, what is going on with you today? Or do you not see that big, got a big blocker here, a little blocker here? You might want to go that way. You know, like, to try to teach them out of that moment. I'm not going to lie. There's been times where I have blown up. But I try to reserve those for the times that they really need to happen. Yes?
I apologize for being late, and I hope this hasn't been asked. I am a professor in the Department of Education, and I often have students who are student-athletes in all areas. And I'm curious about how you approach academics. I realize we have things in place, but how do you approach the academic side of your players?
That's why they're in college. you know, they're here to get a degree, they're here to get an education. If they're, I've had players come late to practice, I've had them leave early. We make it work. We figure out what's going to work best for them in that situation.
Got some more, Jane?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
What books have you read that have influenced you in your life?
My life.
As a coach and as a person?
Well, the book I use for our captain's training has been really influential to me, and it's called the Team Captain's Leadership Manual. I might be getting the name wrong, but that one has been really influential in how I approach our team and how I approach our captains, and that one has been extremely influential to me. You know, other ones that I've read, like John Wooden's book is amazing. If you haven't read it, it's really good. And now that I've seen the movie, I want to read the book Moneyball, just because that was an amazing movie. And the movie itself spoke to things, so I'm like, gosh, now I need to read the book, because that was really influential that way. And think of other books I've read recently. I like a lot of mystery novels, so. So I read a lot of mystery novels, so those haven't been really influential, though.
Have you spent time in the mountains before?
Oh, yeah. Our family actually has a place in Durango, and we spend holidays there. That's a big thing. My parents have always joked that they want a place in the mountains and a place on the water, and to be able to split time. And they live in San Diego now and have a place in Durango, so I think they've probably succeeded pretty well in that, but yeah.
Are you currently within a system that you're on a 10-month appointment or a whole year? Or?
I'm full-time.
You're full-time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, 12 months.
But is that, being full-time, is that 12 months full-time?
Yes.
With vacation time?
Yes.
So do you do some teaching in addition to your coaching?
Yes.
And what do you teach?
Well, right now I teach two classes. I teach advanced physical fitness and cardio core fitness are the two classes I teach right now.
So you set a goal for yourself for the first year, and say you don't make it, the team comes out and doesn't do as well as you hoped, and it's not an easy transition. What are you going to do the next year to change that? Are you going to be open to new things, and what might some of those be?
I'm always open to new things. I mean, I'm not so arrogant to think I know everything. I think there's always different ways of doing things. You know, I've had different assistant coaches. They bring things in. Different ways of organizing. I think that's important. If I'm going to ask a player to become a better player, then I have to be willing to become a better coach. And that comes from looking at different ways of doing things. As far as goals, I'm a process goals person. I'll be honest, this past year, this fall, as far as end goals, we didn't meet our end goal. 'Cause our goal was to go to the Final Eight. There were some reasons we didn't get there, but I'm a no excuses person, and I have to go back and look at the reason we didn't do it. Honestly, I think I made a scheduling error. I think I scheduled poorly. And so now, looking at that for next season, I've adjusted our schedule to help us get to that next level. So when I'm looking at why we did or didn't reach a goal, I need to look at all aspects of it. Is it a training aspect? Is it a scheduling aspect? What part of it can we tweak and we adjust to make sure that we're getting better the next year?
Do you ever consider doing any barrel racing? I'm being facetious. Barrel racing.
Yeah, my mom actually owns two horses, and she does cutting. Like, that's her, yeah.
So you're probably cutting.
Yeah, so... Well, cutting, you just kind of hold on. But, you know, and that's what I've learned. And that horse I could not control that horse at all. Did whatever it wanted to do. But
yeah. How do you respond when that happens?
To what?
To the horse doing what? Oh. I mean, how do you respond to that, and how do you use that maybe as a lesson for your team?
I actually had this lesson taught to me several different ways, and it's sometimes hard to wrap your head around as a coach. I can't control everything. There's no possible way I can control everything. And to let that go at some times and know that there are places that might need to be put that are outside of my control. Same thing. Like, you're out of control in that situation. You need to have sometimes a little trust and a little faith in the process.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I'm just asking, but they will expect this question.
Okay.
And that is, you know, we have this grand tradition here at Montana State about running the M.
Yes.
Have you heard that?
Yes.
Yes. Would you want to continue that tradition?
I'm big with team traditions. Like, I think they're, and so a tradition, now I asked the team this question. I was like, what team traditions do you have? And they kind of looked around. I was like, okay, team traditions you want to keep. Like, I was like, okay, because they kind of looked around. If it's a team tradition that we want to keep, yeah. Absolutely.
What could you do in this position to help improve the state of, or the level of volleyball in the state?
One thing that I've found, I've done this at a couple different places, even in Texas where, you know, the level's high, is if asked, I participate in coaching clinics with other coaches, also youth clinics, getting it started at a younger level and providing different ways to. Youth volleyball is really interesting because there's a strength component to volleyball that a lot of little kids don't have. So then they're playing soccer and other sports a lot earlier than they're playing volleyball just because they physically can't handle it. Well, they've started doing new things called, like, volley tots has become big, with smaller courts, shorter nets, lighter balls. Those types of things are, you can run youth clinics that speak to that and start it getting more at a younger and younger age. That's going to make it a little bit better. And coaching clinics are huge. I've gone and spoke at coaching clinics and then, like, stayed and listened to other people talk and gotten ideas from them. There's some great resources, you know, like Montana High School Association. Can I speak at their convention or their conference or whatever they have in place so I can meet those coaches and, you know, talk to them about different ideas, learn their ideas as well.
Do you have any plans for the spring, for the team tournaments-wise, what you would start off doing?
I would have to know what's in place first. You know, like at Southwestern, our schedule for next fall is already done. Our complete schedule for the spring is already done. You know, if I left Southwestern and someone else came in, they'd have to go with what I already set up there for our team. So this spring, I would need to go with what's, I'm assuming, has been set up. Yeah, and then go from there. It's like I was assuming all of that schedule. Because I was like, if it hasn't been, that's...
Yeah. How would you sort of take that with training as well? Like, what would you plan on doing coming right in and like starting up with spring wise?
Spring and fall are different to me in far as how we train. I like to do a lot of small group work in the spring. You know, either by position or, you know, get like one DS, one setter, you know, and kind of get more reps in a shorter amount of time, and it can be a little bit more focused, a little bit more one-on-one as far as feedback goes in training. And then team-wise, I think for me, I like to be really efficient in practice. I've been at Southwestern for 8 years now. I can say to my team, okay, three ball Russian pepper series, 10 in a row of each. You've got 10 minutes, go. My team knows exactly what I just said and knows exactly how to implement that. I think one of the biggest goals in the spring would be getting our terminology straight so that we can be really efficient in practice, not just this spring, but in the fall.
And then another question with that, would you come in and just totally revamp things? Like, how would you go about, like, you know, changing the system that the girls are used to? Like,
there, it needs to be, we've got to meet in the middle. When I went to Southwestern, They had been successful in the past. I came in. They had some traditions they wanted to keep. They had some things that they really wanted to do, and I honored that. Now, if I was adjusting or changing things, I was explaining why it needed to be adjusted or changed. And then we kind of slowly got on the same page together. I'm joining your culture. I'm joining you. And it's going to have to adjust as I see fit, but I need to meet. We need to meet in the middle.
What type of relationship do you hope to have with your players?
I want them to know I'm there if they need me, but I don't want to be intrusive. You know, you can be careful on that line of how much you know about your players. You know, but if last week I had a player, she's having some family things, and she came into my office and had a breakdown about that, and I want her to know that that's a safe place to go with that information. I want them to be able to say, "Coach, that drill's killing me." I might say, "Yeah, it's supposed to kill you," you know, but that they'll be able to say that and give me that feedback. You know, I want them to know I'll listen, even though I might not always agree. And if I don't agree, I'm going to tell you why I don't agree.
Anything else?
How about recruiting to Montana State and to Bozeman?
Yeah. Well,
what would you sell?
I think every place has a hook. The first thing that you would sell is the fan base and what can be achieved here. That's something players are looking for. I get that question all the time, even at a small school level. Do you get good fans? I mean, people want to play in exciting environments. They want – volleyball is important here. I mean, it's top of the fold in the sports section this morning in the paper. Like, that's important to players, that volleyball is important in an area. That's the first sell from that perspective, from a volleyball perspective. There's resources here that will speak to athletes. They want to know what kind of academic services support they have, and those services are in place here. And then next, academically, wide range of majors that they can go into, strong academic standing nationally. You're going to get a good degree. People want that as well. I think there's a lot of things that you can sell in that process. And from what the assistants tell me, the team kind of sells themselves. That's what I've been told.
How would you interact with a booster club?
I be available. I mean, do you want me to speak? Do you want me to go do something in the community? Be available on that level. I'll be honest, I haven't worked. We have a booster club for our athletic department. We don't have separate sports booster clubs at Southwestern. So everything I do with a booster club goes through our athletic director and our associate athletic director, and I'm asked to participate in golf tournaments or things like that, which, of course, I'm always willing to do. But I'm not directing that. So I'm following the lead of other people that tell me what I need to do. I would take that approach.
We have a separate site out club here. So
yeah, that's... My philosophy is if I'm not an expert, no, I'm going to go to the people that are. So go to them and ask them what they want me to do interaction-wise. I think it's a market that's interesting that you can bring that type of support to a single program. And so what do you want from me or need from me as a coach? And then go from there. So I don't have a specific plan for that.
Do you have a specific plan for all the rest of it?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, have you thought about when you walk in here two weeks from today,
training.
Exactly what you're going to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Staffing, training. Again, things that I'm comfortable. It's things I haven't done before that I know I'm going to need to take somebody else's lead in that regard. Because I'm not... There are some areas that I will need people to tell me, okay, you need to go do this. Okay, go do that.
Okay. Okay.
Thanks very much for that.
Thank you.